This evening's scripturing will come from Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. And I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles, its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction, a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man.
Okay, that's my title for this, is A Sense of Urgency. Okay, so picture this. This is an old vaudeville act. They'd be started out with this guy, this comedian, and he'd be up front with a microphone in the center of the stage, and he'd be telling all these corny jokes, you know, the kind of jokes that I tell and stuff. And he would tell like two or three, and all of a sudden, on stage left, this lady would appear, and just in this beautiful evening gown, like she's going to the opera, and she just gracefully walks across the stage behind him, and as she walks past him, she stops and looks, and in her hand is like a little wine glass or a martini glass, just this little dinky glass like that, and she looks at him, and then she continues and walks off the other stage. That's all she does. And then he tells a couple more jokes, and all of a sudden, here she comes, some stage right, and she walks right past him, looks at again, walks off stage left. And then he tells a couple more jokes, and here she appears, and she keeps coming back with this little glass in her hand. So finally, the end of the act, he would go, "Lady, you're messing up my act. What are you doing?" And she looks at him, just matter-of-factly says, "My room is on fire." Paul got that. So you see what this, can you picture this? She's trying to put this fire out, so she opens up the door to her room, and it's this humongous fire, but all she has is this little glass of water, and you can just see her just kind of throw it out, and that didn't work, and then she walks back and forth. So the joke is, when your room is on fire, you really want to have a sense of urgency. So her sense of urgency was, I don't want to break and get out of graceful mood, I have to do this gracefully and stuff. So that's the joke that's there. That's not, she's not having a sense of urgency on this thing. So, you know, the highway patrol, we had our core value. One of the core values was having a sense of urgency. And the reason was that, and what that meant, you know, like, you know, when things are happening, we got to get down there and get things done quickly. Like you have a traffic crash. Sometimes you have a traffic crash like below a hill crest, and the danger is, when everybody's down there invested, you know, all these people are down there, there's going to be somebody else top the hill and get surprised and slide into everybody. And so when we get there, they go like, "Hey, get somebody up there to that hill and put some fusees down. Get somebody up there to stop the traffic." And you want to go really fast. You don't want to just be, "Well, we'll get to it when we get to it," and stuff. We want to do this, you know. So they have to have a sense of urgency. Now the definition that they told us of a sense of urgency is doing those things first which you can least afford to put off. Do those things first which you can least afford to put off. My definition was, it's time to pick up the pace here. We've got to get this stuff done. And we know this feeling of needing a sense of urgency in our life. The best example of this is you're at home and you're watching TV, you're stretched out on the couch, you're having a just relaxing time, you got pizza boxes all over the place, and then the phone rings. And the phone rings, and it's David and Susan. And David saying, "Hey, we're in the area. Just thought we'd stop by. We'll be over there in about 20 minutes. And what do you do?" And you say, "Fine, it'd be great to see you." And you hang up. Then what do? You are rushing all over. You're grabbing the kids. Get that cleaned up. You're washing dishes. You're throwing things under the beds. You're getting it all cleaned up as fast as you possibly can. That is having a sense of urgency. That's what they're doing here on that stuff. So we're looking at that stuff. So how does having a sense of urgency, though, play out in our spiritual lives? You know, we got to remember that God has done what he has to do on this thing. I always still got the, you see this in the plan of salvation. God did what he's supposed to do. Jesus did what he was supposed to do. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. 2 Thessalonians 3, starting off in verse 1. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, that we may be able to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have this confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." We're seeing this, that God, he's going to establish us and he's going to direct our hearts. He is faithful, which means if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And we see that God has done that. We go over into the book of 1 John, and we see this thing that he's going to, we can count on God to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 8, and he says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor," I'm in Peter here. 1 John 1 verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So we see that God forgives us of our sins there. He is faithful to do that. He said he's going to do it, and he's done it. We go into Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in verse 5. Hebrews 13, in verse 5. And he says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So God has said he's going to establish us and direct our hearts. They're going to forgive us of our sins, and they're never going to forsake us. God is going to do what God and Jesus says they're going to do. But we have to do what we're supposed to do. A lot of times people don't realize that. They think God's going to do it all, and we don't have to do anything. And we need to do this in the right speed and enthusiasm required to be successful. You know, we pray for a lot of things in our lives, and it's rightly that we do this. You know, we'll pray for our health, we'll pray for our financial security, we'll pray for protection, we'll pray for comforts in our trials, we'll pray for salvation. We'll pray that his word might spread. We'll pray for guidance. We'll pray even for our whole congregation. And with all these things that we want God's help with it. And it's right to do this. You know, I talked about that this morning, one of my favorite verses, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but with everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." But after we pray, then what do? For instance, we'd all like to be financially secure, right? We see in Matthew 6 and verse 11, kind of the Lord's Prayer that talked about. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's right that we pray for that. "Give us this day our daily bread." But after we pray for that daily bread, what do? Now, we can pray and do nothing, but the chances of a Hostess truck driving by your house with the back door open and a loaf of bread falls out, it could happen, just not every day that you're going to get that. You know, it does happen, but it doesn't happen all the time. We look at that and we can see what we have to do. If we go into the book of Proverbs after we've prayed for this, there's instructions for us. Proverbs 10. Look at the 10th chapter of Proverbs, verse 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 10. It says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." We see that you have to do what you're supposed to do here. You got to do it in the right enthusiasm here. And we got to do it in the right time, the sense of urgency. We see this. You know, remember our story in Exodus 16 with the manna coming. Every morning they would find manna on the ground. What did they have to do, though? They had to get out of their tents and go and collect this manna. And what happened if they delayed too long. After a while, in the morning, when it would disappear. If you didn't go out there and get it in the morning, you weren't going to wait till the afternoon to get it. It wasn't going to be there and stuff on that. So we look at it as we look as what Anthony read there in Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. We see the danger of slothfulness. You know, the guy that owned that thing, you could tell, did not have a sense of urgency. Everything was broken down. Everything, which meant if it's broken down, there was a lot of maintenance that didn't get done. You know, when you're looking a loose stone here or something, he could have taken care of and not have the whole wall break falling down. But they don't do that there. These verses say if you want to be successful, or if you want to be supplied with the things you need that comes from God, well, you got to work for those things. You can't just expect it to fall into your lap just because you've prayed about it there. And we see that in Proverbs 22 in verse 13. We have our excuses there. Verse 22 and verse 13, it says, "The lazy man says, there's a lion outside, and I'll be slain in the streets. I got an excuse why I didn't go out there and gather. I didn't want to get killed by this imaginary lion here or possible lion here." So, you know, so we see that we have an excuse. Well, how is it working out for us if we're going to have excuses on this? We're going to have trouble getting that bread in the house there and there. You know, if you're having trouble, like physical or trials, is there room for improvement in our lives here? Can you improve? Making little steps to try to get improved on these things. A lot of times people don't bother doing anything. They just stay in their same situation and they don't make any little improvements. Little small ones that over years would just grow to be large amounts of change that they needed. They just stay the same thing in there and stuff. That's why we see that in Proverbs 24, verse 33. It's just a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. That's what they spent all their time. Now we know in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, we got there's a time for this and a time for that. One of the times that they have is there's a time for rest. We do need our rest. We're supposed to be sleeping. But we got to make sure our downtime is doing some good. A lot of times our downtime is messing with us in there. Like, my downtime, I'm staying up late watching TV instead of going to bed. You ever get that in the morning? You wake up, because that's the way it used to be as a kid. You wake up like, oh, the alarm rang. Give me 5 more minutes. Just give me 5. I just need 5. Just hit that thing. And then the next day it'd ring again. Okay, I won't take a shower. Okay, I'll run to the bus stop or something. I've just got this thing. I'm just out this way. Instead, it would have been better if I'd have gone to bed at 10 o'clock instead of 1 in the morning, but I was sitting there watching TV and that stuff. Or we spend our downtime getting involved in all kinds of activities instead of resting or getting our regular work done here and stuff. So we're looking at that, you know. And how about our spiritual work that we're to do here? We see there in Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20 that we're to go out and make disciples of all nations, that we're supposed to do that. Now, some of the folks kind of go route that, yeah, that's that command to go out and make disciples. But if you notice, he's talking to apostles. So I think it's just the apostles that are supposed to go out and make disciples out of all nations. I'm kind of excluded that. But we can see from the, again, get in, like I talked about this morning, you don't stick in one verse. You got to go to all the other verses. We look over in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 1 Thessalonians 1, and we're looking at verse 2 here of 1 Thessalonians 1. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." So there we see that Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. There's apostles talk to these people, right? So that should end it, right? Well, let's keep going here. And it says, "And you became followers of us," in verse 6, "and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and with the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Yeah, the work of spreading the gospel is for the entire church, not just for apostles and that. So our goal is to win souls for Christ and to have this building filled up. That's our goal here. But what have you done to increase the borders of Christ's kingdom there? You know, what are you able to do? What are you lacking and you can improve on? 2 Peter 3 and verse 17 and 18, it just tells us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk about time again here, because that's what sense of urgency is. You don't have a lot of time. We gotta do as much as we can in the limited amount of time that we've got left. We do know this. We got a lot of things that require time from us that we have got to give to. Like, we got work, we got our family, we've got our church, yes, with rest even. We've got to dedicate some time to that. But, and how much time do we really have? You know, we see there, kind of the story there in Matthew 25. We don't have to go there. But that whole story is about, hey, time's running out. Be ready. You don't know when the Lord's going to be coming. You got to be ready. Blessed is that servant who his Lord finds working. If you want to be there working, and don't be goofing off, wasting time, because we don't know when the Lord's coming. Okay, we'll take that. We don't know. And that was a lot of times our invitation to us. You know, you want to come forward, because we don't know if you're going to have tomorrow's not guaranteed to us. We don't know. The Lord may come. You might get hit by a car, all that kind of stuff. All right, well, let's go this thing, that we're all going to live to a ripe old age. Lord's for this scenario, Lord's not coming till 2525. What a great song that was. Anyway, it's just like it's centuries away. All right, you're going to live nice old age and all that. Okay, but what about your family? What about your friends? What about our acquaintances? How long do they have with us? Now, everybody here, in a sense, has lost somebody. Maybe you lost them through death. Maybe you lost somebody because they moved. You had a friend or something, and they finally they're moving out of state, or they're moving across town or something, or somebody you knew at work and they got transferred to somewhere else and they're gone. So, how much time do you really have? You know what? Talking again about this time here. We see that it's kind of the opposite. Acts 24, verse 25, where Felix is talking and Paul's talking to him. And what was Felix's answer or statement there? You know, come, go away. At a more convenient time, I'll talk to you. Well, this kind of scenario that we've got here is a reverse. Instead of Felix saying, we got a lot, you know, come back at a more convenient time, it's Paul that's saying, hey, at a more convenient time, I'll talk to you. If we were talking to Felix, we're going like, I'll talk to you later, Felix. I got stuff I got to get done first, and I'm not going to talk to them. And then they move away, or they pass away, or something like that. And the worst one, and I have experienced this, don't talk to somebody. One day, they come into work, and they're going like, hey, Mick, here's a card. I was talking to this group, this church, and they are the nicest people. And they got this thing called the Bible they started talking to me about, and I joined up. It was so great. Here's the plan of salvation if you want to look at it. In the meantime, I'm going like, boy, stupid, Mick. You could have just said something to them and got the same reaction to them. But why did they're going with this other group? Because somebody talked to them and stuff. So I lost that opportunity and that stuff. You know, so do you have time for a Bible study with somebody? Do you have time to talk to somebody? Do you have, you know, like, what's our attitude toward the Lord's work? Well, sometime later on, I'll help out or something like that. You know, this idea here is the time for work and for play given more of a sense of urgency than our work for the Lord. I used to think about that when, you know, today's Father's Day, isn't it? I didn't know it's next week. Okay, because I was going to get mad at my kids. I didn't get anything, and there's a reason why. So, but you ever see that? We got the stories of our dads when we're on vacation. I don't know if Chauncey has done this. But we're gonna take a long road trip, and there it is, like 4:30 in the morning. There, we're gonna get in the car. We're gonna drive this car because we're gonna beat all the traffic. I need everybody in this car go to the bathroom first because we're not stopping for 5 hours. So this car is empty. Then we're gonna stop for 10 minutes, get back in the car, and keep moving. That's the way my dad ran the railroad. We had a sense of urgency. Get in the car. Let's go. And don't say anything. You know, don't do anything because we got to get going. And a lot of times we do that thing. We got a sense of urgency for that stuff. But when it comes to the Lord's work, we don't have a sense of urgency. We got plenty of time there. We see that in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. That one we know, you know, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know. We see in Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38, that we're to pray to the Lord for laborers. We need laborers. We need to have that compassion for others. We need to have that sense of urgency for others to help them out there and stuff. You know, so the same is when working and we're resting here. We don't have a legitimate type of rest. We're just goofing off there. Proverbs 18 and 9, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great waster. And then we see here in Colossians 3 and verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now we use that a lot of times, certainly means by his authority. Everything that we're going to do spiritually is by his authority. But what else do you do through Christ's authority? What do you do for the Lord? Also, everything we do. So when I go to work, it's for the Lord. When I eat, and I'm eating food, it's to gain strength so I can serve the Lord, dear and says. When I rest, I'm resting to regain my strength so I can serve the Lord in there. When I'm making friends, I'm thinking about the Lord all the time. And even when I'm on vacation, it's for the Lord. I tell you, there's no better bonding way is to jam everybody in that little, whatever, about 4 by 6 foot room and drive for hours and hours. And then you put up with all of the fighting that goes on there. But at the end of this, years later, you're a really close-knit family after nobody touching you for 8 hours all the time and stuff. Yeah. The danger is we keep pushing back the needs of the church for our own wants. Our sense of urgency is diminished because we're more concerned about the world, what's going on here and stuff. We see that in Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 18. We see that where that was about the guy that had the barns. He had such a good crop. What was his attitude? I'm going to pull down my barns, build bigger barns, and I'm just going to take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry, and I'm just going to live this long life. That was his main goals. That's what his sense of urgency was all about, having this good life. Okay, our last example. We go to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Proverbs 6, and we're looking at verse 1 here. Proverbs 6 and verse 1. He says, my son, if you become a surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like the bird from the hand of the fowler. So we look at this thing. You see that sense of urgency? And this is for financial display here. He doesn't say, you're in hurt here. You're in financial stress here. You need to go and make this thing as right as fast as you can. Don't take any time to sleep or anything. Not that we're going to take care of it tomorrow. You need to take care of it right away. Now, this is all about a financial matter. What about our souls and that stuff? You know, we see that in Acts 22 and verse 16. You know, why tarriest now? Arise and be baptized. Now, I wonder if Ananias or the other apostles, everybody had the same attitude for this. You know, why tarriest? Do you owe somebody apology? Let's get that done. Don't be dragging that kind of stuff out there. If you've sinned and you've fallen, I said, well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get back up as quick as you can. You don't go, hey, I got to take care of it sometimes. No, it's right now we got to do that. Maybe you haven't studied your Bible enough. Well, what do we do? Well, start studying the Bible. Don't be like, oh, I'll wait till the beginning of the month here. I like to do things on the first or something like that. No, just, it's Monday, start reading. It's tonight. Just start reading something there on that. You know, on that kind of thing. You haven't done as much work. Don't worry about it. Just start doing stuff on that. Why tarries? Why? You got to get a sense of urgency, get going on these kind of things. So that's my lesson for tonight. So again, thank you guys for listening. We offer this invitation to anybody that has need. If any way we can do this, have a sense of urgency and get this thing taken care of as quick as you can. If there's some way we can help you, let us know by you come forward and we'll stand and sing our song of invitation.